And you are listening to Lord of All Hopefulness, the hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this November the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2015. Boy, late in the year, isn't it, Pastor Mark Smith?
Well, it's moving right along. We're in November now, and boy, why didn't you play more of that hymn, Tom? That's a beautiful hymn. I love that. I love that melody.
We only do the first verse, and then if you run out of words to say, we'll do the rest.
Okay.
Okay.
What have you been up to? I'm just trying to make conversation. What have you been up to as well?
Well, looking at the weather outside.
No, I'm finished with that.
Oh, you're finished?
No.
Boy, must be your wife is listening. You didn't say this is beautiful weather.
Well,
I like it.
It's like I said, it's like driving in a light bulb out there sometimes.
Yes, it's very foggy today. And it fits right in with our hymn because we both hoped we would get to the radio station.
That's a sure and certain hope, too.
Yes. In fact, we're going to explain the difference, how most people use the word hope in comparison to this. Would you read the first stanza, please?
Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust, ever childlike, no cares could destroy. Be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of day.
Now, I believe there are some politicians who get elected because they give hope. And, oh, you don't think so?
Well, no, it's just that word hope. I've heard four politicians. It carries political baggage, doesn't it?
It does. So what's the difference in the hope in the political field versus the hope in the spiritual field?
It's a sure and certain hope we have. It's not. Oh, I hope this, and without being really sure of it. And as far as we Christians have a sure and certain hope in Christ.
In fact, in the area of the politics, I would say that anybody who says, for sure this is going to happen, for sure it's not going to happen. Simply because not only do you have dueling parties at times, but you aren't in control of what is going on.
No, that's right.
Yeah, in the political realm, in the secular realm, nobody is really in control except God.
Anything can happen.
That's right. And so it's not bad that you would say, I'm going to change this policy or that policy, but the idea that therefore you're going to have a different result than you have today isn't sure. Why is the spiritual hope a sure hope?
Because it's in Christ. It's based on his rock-solid promises.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for, promises. That God gives us certain promises. That's why he's the Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy. And then this next word, whose trust, ever childlike, no cares could destroy. So
yeah. I'm trying to think, whose trust, ever childlike. Is he talking about the trust that we have?
The Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust, ever childlike, no cares could destroy.
So it's the trust that we have in him.
Well, I think it's the promises that he gives are quite childlike in the sense that...
I think I know. I think he means trust insofar as it's a noun. It's a foundational assurance. That type of trust.
When your kids were growing up, when they were 2-3 years old and you told them something, would they believe you?
Pretty much.
That's right.
Well, I can remember as a kid growing up, whatever my parents, I took as gospel truth.
Yes, exactly.
I remember that.
And therefore, their promises were childlike for the level of a child.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking here. And therefore, no cares that I have could ever destroy that promise from God.
Right.
So if I said to my kids, you know, after we clean up the lawn, we're going to go to McDonald's. They really believed it. And then after they did
because they knew you wanted to go.
Oh, well, that was the only reason. Yes, I remember when Luther was 1 year old, I bought him an electric train set.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he loved it. like watching it going around and around.
I bet you didn't let him touch it.
No way. So be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day. Well, what this means is that because of God's promises are very sure, we therefore can be absolutely certain that we need not have any care.
That's right.
That God will take care of us.
That's right. As we get up in the morning, you know, if you've got a little bit of a drive to go.
Yes.
You know, I always say a little prayer, Lord, get me at my destination safely.
Yep.
Without any car trouble, without any flat tires.
Yep.
And
so obviously I had a flat tire a few weeks ago, and does that mean you didn't hear my
didn't
prayer?
Pray. you have not because you ask not, Tom.
Well, when I saw the
the
pressure going down, I prayed that it would go up. And it didn't go up.
And it didn't go up.
No, so.
Well, he must have been saving you from something worse on the highway.
Well,
by getting
you know,
you to
I
the
actually
side of the
said
road.
That in the sermon yesterday, or Sunday. What happened, I took it in, and not only that tire, but the other tire on the front was almost flat, and they recommended getting two of them. And the next weekend, I went 1,000 miles round trip to a congregation and through wet and slippery roads. So
it's good you had some new tires.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. God knows what he's doing.
Well, he didn't know how much they cost, though, or something, but okay. We're going to do something a little different now. We're going to listen to what you said and play the second hymn.
Okay.
Or I should say the second verse.
See, this hymn is really a prayer for four times of the day. As we get up and leave in the morning, as we're involved in our work, in our calling, and then later as we come home in the evening, and finally as we lay our heads on the pillow at night.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Yeah.
It's the kind of third line of each stanza. Let me read each one. Be there at our waking, be there at our labors, be there at our homing, be there at our sleeping.
Yeah.
So homing would mean...
Homing, homecoming, or,
yeah,
or homecoming, when we come
right.
home. Really so, a beautiful hymn.
Why don't you read the second stanza then, even though they sang it exactly okay. as we have it.
All right. Lord of all eagerness, Lord of all faith, whose strong hands were skilled at the plane and the lathe. Be there at our labors and give us, we pray, your strength in our hearts, Lord, at the noon of the day.
Yes. In fact, that last line, each one is different. At the break of the day, at the noon of the day, at the eve of the day, at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think many people recognize that. That it's...
It's not a hymn. You know, I think I mentioned earlier, I don't think the melody of the hymnal... I'm not sure how that melody in the hymnal goes. That's a beautiful melody they use.
No, it's the same one.
Is it the same one?
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful. I can't understand why we haven't sung that. I guess it's one of those. I can't understand why we have never sung that.
We sing it every other Sunday at our church because it's so beautiful.
Okay, Tom. All right.
Now this is kind of interesting. Whose strong hands were skilled at the plane and the lathe?
Carpenter, see. Jesus is a carpenter.
I don't think they had either one of those in
those
days.
Well, maybe not.
Did
but,
they?
But they had...
a lathe.
What is a lathe?
Well, isn't that where the thing spins and you use your... to cut like a baseball bat or something
oh,
like that?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
They might have... It might have been maybe... pedal powered or something. I don't know. I that'd be great. That'd be a great thing to study, the carpentry of that day.
Yes.
You know, what really primitive implements they had to work with.
Yeah. We keep thinking a good lady would need electricity, which, of course, they didn't have. And the plane, skilled at the plane.
Plane is something that makes smooth surface.
Yes, I hope you saw what Mark was doing here on the radio. He was moving his hands.
I use my hands to express what I'm saying.
Yes.
Sure.
But they're referring to Jesus, therefore, prior to him getting inaugurated at his mission with John the Baptizer, that he was skilled at the plane and the lathe. But it's a reminder, because the second part is reminding us of the work we do.
That's right, our own calling.
Yes. And therefore, be there at our labors, and give us, we pray, your strength in our hearts, Lord, at the noon of the day. That's kind of interesting, that what's the strength? Because he's Lord of all faith.
Right.
That means Jesus always trusted the words of the Father.
Yeah, and there's no telling how many people might be listening in this morning that maybe are not all that pleased with their work. You know, maybe, you know.
Yes.
You know, not everybody has the privilege that you and I have of really, of being able to enjoy our work. And, you know, for some people, their work is a drudgery. And I think for those people, they need the encouragement that only our Lord can give, that he's with them even in their work, even when their work is challenging and difficult.
Yes, in fact, I can't remember the percentage. It was over 50% of the people do not look forward to going to work each day.
Right.
You mentioned the word vocation. How does that fit in?
Well, vocation, of course, is our calling. Whatever God has called you to do,
right,
in life. And that's, you know, that is a good work. Whatever you do, whether it be just humble sweeping of the floor in some factory, or whether it's I don't know, a brain surgeon, or whether you're a statesman or something like that, it's God, what God has called you to do.
I remember when I worked at an automobile factory, there was a line, and people just do the best they could. But then when the foreman was coming around,
yeah,
they all, foreman's coming, and then everybody looked busy.
I know, I've got a friend, we always laugh about this. He has the viewpoint, when Jesus comes again, everybody look busy. As if you're going to fool him. No way.
As though you can suddenly become busy within 1 second. Because within 1 second, you're in the cloud. Whoa, wait a minute, I got something to do.
He knows.
I mean, I go through days where I hope he doesn't come. No.
You're having so much fun.
Yes. It's usually when I'm going to a congregation and I've got all my videos set up and everything like that.
Please don't come until after the presentation.
Yeah, until. It's so stupid, as though you're going to be disappointed because you're going to see a much better presentation.
Oh, man.
Why don't we go on to the listen to the next verse? Once more, we get the third level at our coming home, an evening where many people have their best meal. Is that not
yes.
correct?
Well, Lord of all kindliness. And don't you associate kindliness with coming home, I hope.
Yes.
I don't know if Louise associates it with kindness.
No. She associates it if she's babysitting somewhere.
But you know, you think of, oh, I'm home, you know, that this, you know, this is where I feel at home, and this is...
After a long trip going right. somewhere, and I'm on my way home, I have a tendency to maybe fall asleep. So I've got the radio on loud and things like that. And you just look forward to getting into that front room chair,
yes,
with a good Fresca beside you, yes, or whatever.
And your wife tells you to take out the garbage.
No, she already took it out, Mark. I don't know. Let me talk to you about your wife later on. And yeah, looking forward to that cheeseburger, french fry, and milkshake. Yeah, you really get to love, like, you've moved recently. Yes. Do you miss your old house sometimes?
Oh, I miss the neighborhood and, yeah, and then the neighbors and the bike trail, you know, those things.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great neighborhood.
Yep. And where you're living now, is there a bike trail?
Oh, well, yes, but it's a little too treacherous for me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like driving along Clayton Road.
Oh, wow.
Or riding along Clayton
Road. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
So, Lord of all kindliness, Lord of all grace, your hands swift to welcome, your arms to embrace. Be that our homing and give us, we pray, your love is our, your love in our hearts, Lord, at the eve of the day. I don't know if I told you this story. No, I don't think I have, because I picked it up on a Tuesday, about the man who became blind and then he was going to get married.
Wow.
And on the day he was going to get married, they had done additional surgery and he's supposed to be able to have his sight back.
Wow.
And so at the wedding, before the wedding started, the eye doctor was there taking off the bandages, and everybody wondered what he would think of when he saw his future wife. You know?
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Did the wedding go on?
And so the bandages came off. Now, she had seen him, of course.
Sure.
And he had only felt her face. But the bandages came off, and he saw her, and his word was only one, finally. And she said, finally. But the story wasn't over, because the writer then said, and that is only a glimpse of what you're going to experience when God welcomes you into heaven.
That's right.
You will see him face to face.
See him as he is.
And that's why I look at this where it says, your hands swift to welcome, your arms to embrace. And what parable does that remind you of?
The parable of the lost son, or yes, the prodigal son. Right?
Exactly, where the father embraced him, even though he had come back to manipulate the father.
Yes.
That's really a tremendous parable.
Father wouldn't have it. He just welcomed him in, swept him into his arms.
Yes. Which he also did to the older son who stood for the Pharisees.
That's right.
But they instead, the majority decided to crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of love that God has for us. So let's go ahead and listen, hopefully, to the final verse. Well, that was pretty nice.
We've got to use that hymn more often.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't it a beautiful hymn? You know, it's got kind of an Irish melody to it.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Now, I believe the instrument is an oboe.
Uh-huh. Oboe? You think so?
Well, here.
Yeah.
Just take a look at it just for a sec. Can you see that?
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah. That's really got a nice sound.
Oh, beautiful.
And he plays before each stanza. But go ahead, and in case people didn't hear all the words, read the last one.
Lord of all gentleness, Lord of all calm, whose voice is contentment, whose presence is balm. Be there at our sleeping and give us, we pray, your peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of day.
One of the advertisements you see again and again on television are sleeping pills. Because a lot of people have trouble going to sleep at night, And why is that? Because they're concerned and worried.
Yes. Fretting. Fretfulness.
Exactly. Now, there are certain things that, you know, I get concerned about. And so what I do is I change the subject. What I try and do in my mind is start thinking about, like I'm doing a parable today at Emmanuel Olivet at 11 a.m., which is going to blow their minds because I have a totally different interpretation than anybody else
has. So instead of fretting, you're plotting.
Yes, I'm plotting. And for some reason, that makes me go to sleep. Yeah. When you think of God's word, and I always try and do that, or something, maybe I'm having trouble with a computer program or something, and I'm thinking about what I can do and what I can test. The trouble with that is when I think of something, I get out of bed and go and test it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unusual to sleep the whole night away without having to get up thinking about something. But it's kind of interesting that this last one, as you so well pointed out, this is at the end of the day. And the two words used are, or three, is gentleness, calm, contentment, and whose presence is balm.
Balm, yes.
Now, kids don't understand that.
Soothing.
Yes, soothing.
It's like when you've got a bad sunburn. I'd explain to the kids, you know, like a bad sunburn, and,
yes.
And you put an ointment on there, just, so soothing. That's the way God's...
That's right.
His balm is.
In fact, that is the name of certain perfumes, I think, a balm. And
there's the balm of Gilead. You ever hear about the balm of Gilead?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
talks
it's
about
in the Bible.
Scripture. Right.
Yeah, what does it mean?
I don't know.
Oh,
Gilead...
Okay.
Let's see, Gilead.
Was a leader, and he brought comfort to the people.
Oh, there you go. Good. One of the judges, right?
Be there at our sleeping, and give us, we pray, your peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of the day. You know, that's
interesting. That is so true, isn't it? You know, I mean, that's what God wants us to, he wants us to have that assurance. When we lay our heads on the pillow at night, he wants us to know that, look, you are my child. You are my blood-bought child, my baptized child.
Right.
And no matter what happens in the night, you are mine. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I will take care of you. Even if you don't live to see the next day, you'll live to see your new day in heaven.
And that's where peace really will be.
I will never let anyone pluck you out of my hand.
Yes. It's the message of the angels to the shepherds.
Right.
And what was the message of Jesus on the night of the resurrection when he found the disciples cowering in fear?
Peace.
Peace.
Peace be with you.
Exactly.
He said that a number of times because they were afraid. You know, they were afraid he was going to be angry at them.
Oh.
You know.
They had deserted him. They had betrayed him. They had denied him. Absolutely. And then you hear he's coming back from the dead?
Yes.
Oh.
But he says, I ascend to my God and to your God.
Yes.
To my Father and to your Father. In other words, the reconciliation had been complete.
The reconciliation with the Father.
Right.
Because the dividing wall of hostility caused by our sins...
Had been broken down.
And that's why there was peace. Now, what that means, therefore, and I've said this a number of times, the promises that God gives to the believers are not given to unbelievers.
No, that's right. No, we have definite promises that the unbelievers do not have.
Yes, like
one
all
of them,
things will work together for your good.
That's right. Romans 8:28, they do not have those promises.
Yes.
And I think that's worth making the point. I mean, it's worth being a Christian just to have that promise, you know.
In fact, that's what brings peace, because you can be looking ahead at something that's supposedly happening in your life, and you don't have to worry about it because God has made that promise.
Everything will work out for our good.
Yeah. That's
everything.
Really something to look at for sure. As we indicated, I'll be at Emmanuel Olivet at 11 o'clock doing a parable. That's really going to be interesting. And would you give your times for services and such?
Yes. We have a Saturday evening service at 5 p.m. And that's if people can't make it on Sunday. Then Sunday morning, we have a service at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class in Sunday school at about 10:30.
And what's your adult Bible class doing now?
We're still looking at the book of Romans.
Romans.
Yes. And we're located at 8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. That's Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. We'd love to have you.
So, we thank Pastor Mark Smith for being here today, and hopefully we'll be back next week, unless Judgment Day comes, which I won't mind at all.
No, nor I.
Nor I, yes. Thank you very much. Till tomorrow then, where we're going to have an insight on how a misunderstanding of the third use of the law has corrupted many people. I'm Tom Baker. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.